Welcome, you tech heads, to another edition of Techotastic. Thank you for joining us, checking us out on YouTube, Facebook, Podomatic, as well as iTunes and your favorite podcast apps. We're everywhere. We're spreading our wings everywhere across that internet. Some quick facts. Techotastic held top 100 on the Podomatic technology category for about 2 weeks. That's pretty cool. So why I think that's cool, if you go to the featured podcast and then go drill down to technology and then scroll down, you'd see Techotastic floating around from like number 24 to number 77 and then in between there. So thank you guys. Thank you guys for checking it out. And I hope that's a sign that I'm doing a fairly good job. Now, I want to make this podcast very much audience engaged on a episodic basis. I want people writing in questions, suggestions, feedback, of course, but mostly just writing in so I can feature you guys on the podcast and get your take on different topics in technology. I also want to do like gaming competition, because technology and gaming kind of goes hand in hand. On my last episode on Trust Me, I Have a Beard, I suggested if you guys would like to do a Hearthstone tournament, which is a digital card game made by Blizzard. It's free. It's mostly the game recordings that you guys see on the YouTube channel for the audio podcast. It's that card game in which I lose all the time. Yeah, I'd like to give away a graphics card. I have a GTX 550 Ti. It's a pretty nice graphics card. I'm not going to say that it's top of the line or anything. I would say it's probably medium to low end nowadays. But it'll run Skyrim on high. And, you know, it'll run basically any games as long as you tweak the graphics. So I think it'd be kind of cool if you set up a bracket-style tournament on Hearthstone. See how that goes. I'd definitely like to record it. So write to us at techotastic@outlook.com. You can hit me up on Twitter at xbarmatic. And the best way to get to us is liking that Facebook page and sending ETAcast a message or posting on the ETAcast network wall on Facebook. That's going to be facebook.com/ETAcast. Something cool as well, Troy, the guy behind the sounds and the sweet music on ETAcast Network, is making jingles for the show intros and the segments, and he's super excited to make those, and I think it'll add another layer and another production value to the show. So we'll have like a set intro and set little jingles for the segments that I have across my podcasts. And Trust Me, I Have a Beard, I got a couple of segments, but not really, but more on this show, I got the most segments. It's more broken down. And there's also going to be thumbnails coming to the YouTube stuff. I don't know, I didn't realize it would be an issue, but a couple people have told me, hey, well, why aren't there thumbnails? Why don't you have proper thumbnails for your videos? And I was just using the ones that YouTube selects. I didn't really care, you know. Most of the time it'd be like the Hearthstone loading screen or something. So I'll get thumbnails out there. I'll create some thumbnails and make a template so it looks all nice. I can understand why it should look consistent. Easier to read, easier on the eyes. I just personally did not think it would be an issue. So we're going to get those up all soon, and the jingles and more music from Troy. Troy's mixing up his tune. He told me recently he's going in some sort of hip-hop realm. I'm sure he's going to have like electronic influenced, heavily influenced. I'm excited to hear that for sure. And it's always good to get diversity, and it's a good facet for Troy to experiment, really. So, and please feel free to leave feedback about Troy's music. Yeah, we're going to get links up to his SoundCloud and his personal website. We'll get those up there so you can click through from the ETAcast Facebook and the ETAcast YouTube. All right, let's jump into our episode, guys. Gals, episode 5, they are coming. They are coming. On Technology Podcast, I guess you can kind of put 1 + 1 together. It's about robots. Yeah, robots. I think they're coming, man. You get big minds behind it, like Stephen Hawking especially, where he'll fucking be like, everyone, I am telling you, if you fuck this up, it will be irreparable. They will take over. you dumb asses. You know, I think he should trust someone like that more than anyone else, because he unfortunately is locked away in his wheelchair and his thoughts, really, he's locked away to her. They are coming. All right, before we get into the topic of the show, let's keep it structured here. Let's bring out our tech bargains of the week here. All right, these are the deals around the net, particularly on techbargains.com, because it's an aggregator. And these are deals that I have found that are interesting. And if you're in the market for a laptop, TV, graphics cards, this, that, and the other, this is the segment you're going to want to check out. And mind you, these are deals that have a time limit on it. They all have expiration dates. So if you like something you hear, refer to the links on the YouTube description and the links on the Facebook ETA cast to find these deals that I'm talking about. It's free advertising here for everyone. But I like this because I like pretending that I have a bunch of money and I'll be like, oh man, I'd totally buy this TV right now because it's fucking 60% off and it comes with a free blender. Oh, insane deal. My gift to everyone, all right? Tech bargains of the week. First up is going to be a TV. I've been talking a lot about TVs. It's interesting because when the 4K is becoming standardized, as this year it's going to be more solidified that 4K is a standard, our old 1080p displays that were pushing $2,000, being the smart TVs and stuff, are being just slashed in half. It's the bell curve that I was talking about on last episode. This is the first point where it goes all the way down and crashes. So this TV right here, it's a 43-inch LG 1080p LED display smart TV. You're gonna get it for $400 plus a $150 Dell gift card. Insane deal. I mean, that is insane. So the smart TV, if people are familiar with, it has apps built into it like Netflix and Amazon and probably like a Facebook app that you can rudimentarily use these services that you're familiar with. Yeah, I mean, that is a crazy deal. $400 plus $150 Dell gift card. I will post this deal, which links to Dell. And I mean, that's just a crazy, crazy deal right here. Insane. So for my next deal is going to be date specific. It's not technology, but it's a healthy reminder for everyone that Valentine's Day is around the corner. And if you're like me, you don't really like going out to a place, you know, ordering it, or, you know, going on the phone ordering it. I mean, the best way to buy flowers nowadays is online for sure. And really, I've had a lot of personal purchases with proflowers.com, and it's always been phenomenal. It's always been a really, really great price, and really every single time I've purchased flowers from them, I've always got some sort of discount. So being Valentine's Day is around the corner, I want to recommend everyone to go to proflowers.com. Right now you're going to save up to 20% off. You can select guaranteed Valentine's Day shipping. Okay, do this before they fuck you over and they say, hey, for an extra $30, we'll deliver it on Valentine's Day, you dick. Because it's the day before. What are you thinking? So you get a 20% off of all flowers. You're also going to get chocolates and a jar for free. And on, apparently, they're offering Pro Flowers voucher for $20, okay? So you pay them $20 and they'll give you $40 of gift cards and Pro Flowers on Groupon. So you can, I mean, literally, you can get two Valentine's Day gifts for $20. Bam, bam, slap it on your hands. You're all good. Pat yourself on the back. You can fucking track that delivery. It's all good. And for the people that are going, oh, well, I don't have a girlfriend, I don't have a boyfriend. Well, you suck it the fuck up, all right? Everyone likes having flowers and chocolates and shit on Valentine's Day. You might be getting it from your mom or your dad. So go send them some damn flowers and chocolates and whatnot. Go send them something. It feels good. They gave you Valentine's gifts when you were a kid, when no one really cared. When, you know, you go into class and you, oh, I only got two Valentine's Day cards, and your mommy's like, oh, check this out, a whole fucking box of chocolates. I love you. And you're like, hell yeah, mom, you're the best. You're my Valentine's Day mom. So get your mom some flowers, all right? Tell her to send you the chocolates. Win-win right there. Gosh, you'd think I'd be sponsored by Pro Flowers after that, but I'm not, okay? I just think that everyone should be aware that it's Valentine's Day and you can save a lot of money and it's not crazy expensive buying flowers. So our next deal is going to be technology. All right, we're going to go back into technology. It's going to be a Raspberry Pi 2. I'll explain what that is. Sounds interesting, doesn't it? You're going to get this for freaking $60, under $60, $58.50. And now a Raspberry Pi 2 is essentially a computer that's the size of a credit card that has an operating system, it has a display output, it even has an Ethernet on it, okay? It's a standalone computer, but it is literally, is the length of it is as long as a credit card or your ID. Super small, and it's designed to be just really a development device, but also a low-end device that people can experiment on. Really, really cool. It comes preloaded with a 8 gig SD card, which I'm assuming that it has Windows on it. It's designed to run Windows 10, these Raspberry Pis. Check it out if you're interested. If you're a developer, this is a great device for you to have on the side that you know is just for development. And from what I've been reading, these things are pretty fast as well. Like they're optimized to run, you know, pretty extensive programs, compiling softwares. It'll run a browser. You'd be pretty set with this device if you're programming, for sure. That's 58% off. They regularly go for $140. So check that out if you're interested. The Raspberry Pi 2 is the Model B as well. So I think this is the latest and greatest. That's going to be out for the tech bargains of the week. That's going to be wrapping up there. So if you're shopping around, definitely get those flowers, though. Remember to get those flowers. Don't fuck this up. Let's move into our tech articles of the week. Ooh, man, I got caught in my mouth like crazy. So these are the articles that I found interesting as far as development and future tech. All the great stuff that we really can't try right now, but we can talk about it. First article is going to be about virtual reality. This is going to be a topic for probably a good 5-6 years as it gets integrated with consumers, especially how we perceive it, and we understand that, hey, this is not only just for games, and this is one of the applications that it's not only just for games, because Epic, the guys who make the Unreal Engine, that's free to download for a independent developer. You can go ahead and download the Unreal Engine, and if you don't make like a particular amount of money, you don't have to pay them anything. It's incredible. And the Unreal Engine is a standard in the industry. So many games have used the Unreal 3 engine, especially in the 360 PS3 era. For instance, I would say the game that really, really utilized it, that, fuck, they pulled it off and optimized it for their own game, I would say it's Mass Effect. That game just looks incredible. And it's thanks to the Unreal Engine. So Epic Games have been testing out a VR development for creating things in their engine. So they're using virtual reality to create assets and manipulation, just doing it all, not behind a computer, building their environments all in virtual reality. So creating things in virtual reality, essentially. Very interesting. And when you read stuff like this, you have to take an account of who's testing it. This is a game developer testing. So clearly they can see an application where it's more efficient, where the artist has complete control. Just reading this, they say that it almost gives you godlike powers, because you can get in exactly where you want to go and manipulate things. And the screenshot that they have is this guy, and he's manipulating the position of this fountain in this world, and he has these devices in his hands to control it. He's standing up too, which is important to note, because instantly you can go, well, this is already beneficial because artists don't have to sit there all day glotzing their legs and shit. And further reading into this, they're stating that it feels like Minecraft, but obviously this itself, they're using an engine that's powerful, way more powerful than Minecraft, and has way more control over it. It's an actual game engine where you can control shaders, and you can control, you know, where the sun is and how the physics works in this world. All these things are built into this engine to tell how this game will run in real time. So needless to say, it's like a Minecraft times a million on steroids while drinking 500 energy drinks. It's, you know, they pretty much created the game within their game engine. So that just tells me that it'll engage developers in a more immersive way that, you know, really we haven't perceived before, because we're developers and artists are so used to just staring at a screen, a computer monitor, and no matter how best the resolution is and how great the screen brightness can get and how millions of contrast ratio it has, it's still only that 2D screen that we have to manipulate with a keyboard and mouse to go in and fly around the world. And so very much for us, it removes that whole feel for us. The closest you can get, I think, right now would be a Cintiq, which is a touchscreen monitor, and you would use ZBrush and sculpt things right on the monitor, which is a very cool thing. But something like this gives an extra layer, I feel, to an artist. I mean, I haven't used it, obviously, but just reading about it, I mean, kids spend all day in Minecraft building their fucking world. Developers spend all day building their level. This is another facet for them to get excited about and to feel like they're not working on that whole extra level. Artists want to not be bogged down by the shit. We don't want the fucking program to crash or any of that shit. It's so frustrating to us when we know that if we do this and this, this will happen and the program will crash or you'll lose something. So you avoid doing that at all fucking costs. When you remove those barriers for artists, you give that much freedom for them. So I think this is another way that we can knock down a barrier with VR, baby. And my brother is developing a VR game, so I'm interested. I'm going to call him up soon and ask him what he thinks about this, what kind of applications he feels would work as far as in a pipeline, in a production, a game production. I really see this being useful on level creation, placing assets in a world and seeing how they look from different angles on the fly without being encumbered by a cursor. I think that'd be a really good avenue for that. And not only that, if you're making a virtual reality game, obviously it'd be best to be in the virtual reality in which you're making. So if you're making a virtual reality game, I think that you should be developing in virtual reality. Kind of goes hand in hand. I'm not sure. Interesting questions about virtual reality. Okay. So, sorry, I only had one article for the tech articles of the week. It's pretty stagnant out there. With CES wrapped up, everyone's sort of gone quiet. That's how it rolls in the technology industry. So let's jump into our topic of the show. They're coming. Those robots, man. I mean, we all say it that we don't want it to happen. But however, do we think about the productivity that it would enrich our lives? You know, think about it. If McDonald's said tomorrow, hey, listen, we want all of our employees are going to be laid off. There's going to be robots. So when you go to McDonald's, you're going to get fucking C-3PO serving you a Big Mac. Don't worry about it. Everything's all safe. We have contingencies involved. There's actually going to be one human just making sure it's all good. Just, you know, just sitting behind a desk and checking out their fucking OSs and making sure they're healthy and serving those Big Macs. And then they go, I know this is a devastation. I really do. We're sympathetic. So we're going to offer all of our employees to go to robotic college to build robots and repair robots. Now, I think that would be a great thing. And that's the idea that I have when I think about robots. Yes, I'm a little bit worried that they might take over in the sense of jobs. Trust me, especially visual effects, it's insane. When you get new programs and new algorithms that when you click on that play button, like on a tracker or on a keyer, and it just does like a stellar fucking job, and you go like, holy fuck, I didn't think it would work that well. And it literally is computer thinking about it and putting it all together and going, here you go, what do you think? To machine, it really is. However, it does open up different avenues that only if human beings want to. It expands their minds in which you can build robots, repair robots, and let them do the menial tasks that really we don't want to do, and we're not living off of it. I mean, you ask any McDonald's employee, I'm sure a lot of them have a story to tell you as far as, you know, I'm a single mom, and I got a kid, and McDonald's doesn't pay me right, so I had to ask for government assistance, and even that doesn't do it, and I'm barely living if it wasn't for my parents. You know, it sucks. It sucks to hear all that stuff. And so, yes, you could raise the minimum wage, but also you're facilitating that low-end job. Now, I do think the low-end jobs and the low-tier jobs, the jobs you really don't have to think about. You just have to just go to the training class, learn the proprietary things, and apply it every single day in your working environment, and you'll be good to go. You'll make that paycheck, that measly paycheck, in which you want to strive further and maybe go to college to be a fucking rocket scientist, but you can't because you're working at McDonald's and you're barely scraping by, and that was the start that you got. Yes, jobs like this were needed back in the day to, one, put people to work, but also teach people, hey, you know, you need to work. You know, I definitely remember my first job, which is at Winn-Dixie pushing carts in summer in Florida on the blacktop, you know, getting all the carts, store, bagging groceries for 20 minutes and then going out there and collecting carts again because it's so fucking busy in this particular Winn-Dixie. And it was excruciating, especially wearing that uniform. It was a long sleeve and I had to wear a mock. It was crazy. But I definitely remember, this isn't what I want to do, this, but you know, I'm glad I'm doing it. I'm glad I have the opportunity to do it. So back in the day, that would really apply. However, nowadays, where we have these new technologies approaching and these new frontiers for human beings, like virtual reality, like augmented reality, like the idea of us going to an asteroid and going to mine it, these things were just so out of the realm 15, 20 years ago. You know, the closest things we would get to that is in sci-fi or a movie, a zany movie. It's like, damn truck driving by. So what I'm really driving at is it's not going to be a big detriment nowadays if these menial jobs, these fucking minimum wage, piss poor, $8, $9, $10 an hour jobs are gone and robots are in place. It won't be much of a problem. You know, I touch base on it opens up different avenues for human beings, like being a mechanic, a robot mechanic, a robot innovator, anything to do in robotics. If you introduce this sort of mass robot takeover and these menial jobs, I mean, and not only that, the productivity level, you're going to get consistent everything with a robot. The robot's not going to spit in your food, surely not. You know, I do think that the benefits do outweigh the negatives. Now, a lot of people would disagree with me, and I can understand why. But I would rebuttal with how society can adapt to this. How we know what we're doing. It's not like this would happen without us knowing. You know, we'd walk into a McDonald's and go, holy fuck, C-3PO, can I get a Big Mac? We can adapt as a society and really push ourselves to being that much more professional, to be in that trade skill society that we used to be back in the day, where everyone had a role, a real integral role in society. I'm sorry, but if you've been working at McDonald's for 10 years, I don't think you've been doing so much for society. I apologize. You've been paying taxes, cool, awesome. It's hard to avoid that, I know. And I think that everyone would want this to, anyways, you know, furthermore, they would want to have a better role in society. Not only that, robots would also provide that extra layer of safety net for human beings. Yes, we can all think about iRobot and these different movies that depict robots turning on human beings because they went into their software and found a fucking flaw in it because we're just humans. We're also really fucking smart, everyone. But like I said, it provides an extra safety net for humans, like sent a mission to an asteroid. Of astronauts, it'd just be awesome to watch the robots die on the asteroid, you know, be like, well, that's what happens, let's send another fucking pack. Fishing as well, to be more practical, things that we already have. It's well known that Alaskan fishing is super dangerous, and I'm sure people have a real big passion for it in a big bad way, but it's also very dangerous. So what if someone would develop a fishing robot that would just fucking fish the waters every season and come back consistently with a bunch of crab and, you know, everything that it needs, and it's a robot, so it doesn't need to sleep, you know what I mean? Like, it's very consistent. If it does die somehow out in sea, the fucking Kraken gets it or whatever, who cares, whatever. It's not this insane story that I'm sure a lot of people live. Not only that, what about wars? The people on the front lines, it'd be way more humane to send out robots, not to kill other human beings necessarily, but have like a robot on robot fight. You know, even to kill other human beings, because yes, one side loses a force and the other side loses a force, and really you don't want your side to lose anyone. So my point is, you put the robots in the front line, they take care of the heavy lifting, the shots, they're in the front line, they're the ones that get hit by the IEDs, they're the ones that gets the legs exploded off and their fucking eyeballs gouged out, you know, and whatever, it's just a robot. And at that point, it really alleviates a lot of stress on the military and the military force, and would probably cure PTSD after that. If robots are in the front line, then why would a soldier have PTSD after that, you know, unless he or she had to do an insane strategical mission in which a robot couldn't have done. I don't know. But it would definitely alleviate that disease that soldiers have, that mind rot, if you will, when they come back from a war and they have stories that they're like, yeah, I was on the front line, I looked at the guy straight in the eyes and I shot him and I was okay afterwards, and then afterwards, a month later, I fell apart. You know, why even subject a human being to that? Let a robot take care of that stupid conflicts anyways. I know it sounds weird that, well, you'd send robots in? Like, that sounds weird, but it is the most logical way. If we have a fucking robot that can fight for us, that can shoot a gun and whatnot in an accurate way, why would you want to send John Smith from Wisconsin? Got the robot there, whatever. Really, it's something that we have been embracing. It's just been on a manufacturer level over the years. You know, back in the factory days, we had the worker line, you know, then we got standardized to the robot line, and even furthermore, we got machines now that can just do the whole fucking task and be done with it. It doesn't have to go on the conveyor belt. It's incredible to see the evolution of robots, and really, that's where it's going. The robots will be taking over these menial jobs, and it's going to happen furthermore because it's the most efficient way, and you're going to get 100% of productivity out of a robot all the time. You don't have to give performance reviews on a fucking robot. Blizz coming in here? Yes, master. Yeah, you're doing really bad, all right? I noticed when you put the fryer in, it was kind of lopsided and you didn't even care. You just looked at it and just waved it off to the side. Why'd you do that? Well, I've been having a hard day. You're a fucking robot. Yeah. It just brings our society to that next level of productivity, I think, if this does happen. And I think that a lot of people would want this to happen. You know, if your house is being built, I would much rather have a robot build my house. If, you know, I'm living in 2030, and that robot is programmed to know everything to specifications. They're not gonna fuck, that robot's not gonna mess up a fucking nail, you know. They're not gonna forget to put that overhanging beam that needs to go to support the house. It's just the consistency is what I like about the idea of robots taking over these tasks. Pretty much whatever task you say, oh, I feel like a robot, then fucking guess what? I bet you a robot can do that. Yeah, so that was my topic about robots and if they take over our menial human tasks, in which we all have encountered in our lives. Let me know what you guys think about the robots taking over. What do you guys think of the benefits? What about the negatives? Are you concerned? And I want to thank everyone again for checking out the YouTube channel. It's being hit really all around the world now. It's awesome. So thank you. You guys fucking rock. Remember to like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/ETACast. I'm going to go ahead and start working on those thumbnails and new art, cover art. for the shows. In the meantime, guys, check us out. Check out the other podcast, Did You Beat It, on YouTube. Trust me, I have a beard, in which I host. And we'll see you guys next time on Techotastic. You guys have yourself a fucking Techotastic day.